technical structure of the halachas is the beauty of the halachas system. If you don't appreciate it, you're lacking. But because of them, many times in our yeshiva, so I'll say, well, it's just halacha, it's not halacha, I can get away with it, I don't have to do it anymore. It's very nice, but what's your whole relationship to Allah? And your whole relationship to Allah is just like a game. You want to make sure that you got the right points, and that's it. I mean, that's not the concept. That's not the idea. So it's a misunderstanding of the whole relationship to the system of the Torah. Okay? You happen to be right. That's a prime example. If people will get together for parties, just to party. In our society, that became a big thing. To get together to party. So they thank God that there's such things about mitzvahs and brisim and all these things, so that they could party, have another excuse to party. And then, of course, the ostentatiousness comes in. I heard recently somebody told me that they passed when the Hasidic community, they passed the gzera, that they will not permit them to make more than one sheva brachas. Why? Because everybody has to show off how successful they are and how much money they have. So every sheva brachas is like another wedding, another $50,000, another $100,000. So now the poor people can't become very upset that they can't live up to these standards. And many of them, in order to show others that they can live up to those standards, go into debt and have serious problems. So they made a gzera that there's only, one sheva brachas and no sheva brachas, that's it, because there can't be any more. It seems people can't just have sheva brachas like they had years ago. People can't have sheva brachas like they had years ago in their house. Few people, sheva brachas, that they can't have. If it's going to be something, it's a party. So therefore, every situation is an excuse for a party, so you understand very well what kind of a value this has. This is really like the Rambam says, engaging in the lowest activities of man, in his haughtiness and in his taivis, and this has become sanctioned by the lacha. That's why Chazal says that they never ate of a suda where the amei ha'aret, even a chasana, where it was a chasana of amei ha'aret, they wouldn't eat. It's not a suda. Okay. Right. Well, that's the point. Because the question is, you can't raise it to a higher level by learning Torah. If that's what it was initiated as, I don't think you're going to raise it too much by having somebody get up and say it's about Torah. It's not the matir for the emotion. It's fooling yourself. If the people that get together are chachamim, and that's really what they got together for, discuss some ideas, that's one thing. But if they got together for taivas and now they're going to say it's varalocha, so it's nice, it's important. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying if that does something, but it's not really a change in the whole character of the affair. And mostly, see, these affairs, they themselves don't do divrei Torah. But they sense that it's it's really a party. It's time to party. I mean, that's really That's what the Pirkei Avos says. Any suda that's lo divrei Torah is it's like today's party. Is kids? It's the ilu achlu mizifchei mason. That's really avodah zarah. Avodah zarah means indulging the instincts for the sake of the instincts themselves. Like the Rambam says, that's what it is. Okay. No. Because the halacha, as I said, does not go against a person's nature. Even though we recognize that there's a lower element to our nature, we recognize the status, but we don't destroy it. So therefore, if a woman shaves her head, the Gemara says that a woman and a man have to have. That's be an attraction, and to remove the attractiveness between the couple, to remove a woman's attractiveness would be an avera. That's what the Gemara says. Shlok is gan al baila. So that's why the attractiveness is a value. It's a value within the framework of a relationship, which is really essentially dedicated to Torah. But you're not permitted to remove that that element. That's an issue. Okay. That's the other philosophy I told you mentioned before. That's the other philosophy. That's the philosophy the philosophy that the guf is bad and has to be destroyed. Rambam talks about that. That's the other side, the fanatical side of the coin. It's two sides of the same coin, though. Two sides. It's chote, that's a chote. The highest level is totally separate. There's no question about that. I mean, it's a gemara. But halachically, there's no question that it's mutter. Like to have mixed seating at a wedding, there's no question that it's mutter halachically. But simultaneously, the Gemara does mention that even in a time of avelus, when men and women get together, that there's a danger of yetzer hara. But the question with regard to these things becomes a question of a person knowing what level they're on also. I mean, there can't be any inconsistencies. I mean, it can't be that there are certain hanhogos of tzidkis that they're very, they're good and they're important and they're essential, but they have to be in line with the person's developmental process. The person just grabs onto certain chummas when they have no shaykhs to them is not right either. It's not proper, because then they have a distorted idea themselves and they can't advance properly. So al pi din it's mutter. There's no question about it. And even gedolim were at mixed affairs. And I don't think that I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. If a person does it, it's good. But I'm just saying that. You have to. It's not a crazy thing to do, but let me put it this way: if a person does it, fine. But a person shouldn't frown upon somebody that doesn't do it. That's why I'll leave it at that. Okay. Yes. You can't do it.
Why is that?
The reason why I can't. The reason why I is because of hero. That's right. Because the Torah really does not consider. Again, the Torah does not consider that it's in the nature of woman to be aroused by the visual. But that is not really essentially. That's why it didn't make any halacha with regard to that. But but it's wrong for the man because of himself. Of pants, okay. I think the essence of this shiur is not just to show you what the idea of tznius, but it's really to share with you the concept of the importance of looking into Torah for perfection, not just for a scorecard of keeping halachas, but for perfection. That's the purpose. And the Rambam emphasizes it. Rambam emphasizes in the Mora many things. Well, he says all the reasons for the laws is to teach man a certain midos and perfection. If you're not going to be interested in that, you're fulfilling the whole purpose of the Torah. So it's extremely important to use chachma in this area, and not just to think of it like a big score sheet in the sky that I did this and I didn't do that. I mean, that's childish. Okay? Now, a person has to be a chacham with regard to this area. And I'll tell you what the with regard to a woman wearing pants, I'll give you my opinion in terms of halacha, and also my opinion in terms of philosophically. Halacha, from a halachic standpoint, if the pants are not form-fitting, then, in other words, they're baggy, they're loose, then there's nothing wrong with it, because there is no issa. The only issa that you could be concerned about would be for a woman or for a man to wear the opposite sex's garments. And since today, in today's society, there's that is the dress, so there's nothing wrong with it, in terms of that halacha. In terms of tznius, the only concern is if it's form-fitting or not. If it's form-fitting, it's usa, because that's not tznua. But I would say the following. I would say that a person who is a member of the yeshiva community has another consideration. And that is a consideration insofar as Kavod HaTorah and Chil L'Shem Shamayim is concerned. Now, it could be argued that even that pants in general, if a person, let me put it this way, if a person would say that they don't want to wear pants because they feel that isn't the highest degree of tznius, I wouldn't argue with them. I would accept what they're saying. I'm just speaking from the strict halachic standpoint, okay? But if a woman would not, I don't think Rav Yudah Nasi's wife would wear pants, even baggy pants. That's my opinion. So So in other words, in terms of the further extension of the idea of tznius, I would say it definitely would be involved in the higher degree of tznius, but not the halachic tznius. And we're distinguishing between the two, but yet we're showing the objective is the same. Now, therefore, I'd say as follows, that insofar as the yeshiva community is concerned, there's a halacha of chil Hashem even in something that's mutter. That's the halacha. Like the Gemara says, if a person is a rav and he doesn't pay on time, so even though the butcher all the time writes a bill, but for him it's a chil Hashem. Aye, there's no issa. The answer is, it still is an imperfection. To make somebody wait for their money is an imperfection in midos. So even an imperfection in midos could be a chil Hashem. I was a person who was a member of our yeshiva community, even though it's mutter, should not do it in a way that it casts a bad light on Torah, because it's not the highest degree of tznius. Now you see, chil Hashem doesn't have to be only a halachic violation. Chil Hashem could be even in terms of the higher degree. That's the case in the Gemara, depending on who you are. And a person shouldn't be such an onav and a fool to think that if he's associated with the yeshiva, that doesn't place him on a different level. It certainly does, and just like they benefit from the yeshiva, they have a responsibility to the yeshiva. If you benefit from an institution, you have a responsibility to the institution in terms of your relationship with God. So Akar Satov, in terms of your relationship with God, more than the yeshiva itself. The yeshiva itself, it doesn't matter. But in terms of, aside from that, I mean, it's a relationship with God. You benefit from the system, so you shouldn't cast aspersions on the system. So therefore, a woman that's associated with the yeshiva, definitely it would be, in my opinion, a serious violation to walk around in a way that people are going to say that this is, they don't know the difference, they don't draw the line, say they cast aspersion on the whole philosophy of Yadus in terms of your yeshiva. That's a chilul shem shamayim. A person does it in their own privacy is one thing, but a person has to know that chil Hashem is halacha even where there isn't a strict halachic violation. And that's and there again I tell you that your relationship to Yadus shouldn't be on the childish level of just doing mitzvahs, but looking into in terms of perfection. And Chil Hashem Shamayim is the most important institution in Kol HaTorah Kulo. So it's extremely important. If it's a flaw in your understanding, you're not obligated. Then it doesn't involve Chil Hashem Shamayim. But if it's a mitzvah which is subject to variation of degree, where it goes beyond the halachic line, then there is Chil Hashem Shamayim. And this is one of those halachas. This is one of those mitzvahs that goes beyond the halachic line. So therefore, there's a consideration of Chil Hashem Shamayim. Okay? Yes. Kantra. There should be the Ramos before. Yeah, but we don't pass it over. But the woman before she's married wants to be attractive in order to on the contrary, to promote the relationship between the sexes so that she can get married. I mean, this is it's a different thing. It's a different stage of life. It's a different kind of a thing.
But that's
it's a different stage in life. It's a different stage in life.
Exactly.
That's right. And that's important. I said you have to worry about other people where there is some kind of imperfection, even if it's not halachic, even if it's beyond halacha. But I didn't say you have to worry about other people where what they think is nonsense, there's no halacha like that. Okay? That's a clear distinction. We don't do what other people think. Only if they're right in what they think, either halachically or it's some kind of perfection in midah that goes beyond halach. But if it's just a crazy idea, we don't care what they think. Because on the contrary, we don't want to support crazy ideas. Okay.
Yes.
There's one, Rabbi Oshai. All right. Even though there's not that many people, I'd like to add one thing. I'm sorry I didn't say when everybody was here, but you know the way it is. You always forget something. Because of what we said, it comes out that it's not just the doing of this mitzvah that's important, but the attitude towards the mitzvah. The attitude towards the mitzvah. And I'm sorry I forgot that. In other words, that it depends how a woman covers her hair. If a woman covers her hair in a way that she's through, I have to do it now, throw something on my head, that means that they miss the whole message of this. and missed the whole philosophy, missed the whole idea. It's something which a woman should do with a respect for this halacha, which is one which teaches teaches us perfection. So since it's a halacha that's not simply a technical maisa, the attitude towards the halacha is over here what the Rambam says, Huhuri Avera Kashim Avera, I would say that the reverse. Over here, Huhuri Mitzvah are more important than the mitzvah itself. Because the attitude is the area where the whole essence of the mitzvah resides in. So therefore, if the person has the wrong attitude and says, I have to throw something on my head and I must, and they dislike the mitzvah, it's just a difficult thing for them to do. They're missing the entire point. Sorry, I forgot that. There's another thing I want to just elaborate on, and I try to make it clear, but it's important a lot of times to spell these things out exactly. And that is that we shouldn't underestimate the importance of a woman to appear attractive and beautiful to her husband. This is a mitzvah gedola, and I'm serious about it. And the frum world, which is, now to quote frum world, where there's distortion either way. So then they think it's a mitzvah for a woman to look unattractive. This is ridiculous. The Gemara says that Choni Amago, when he used to come back from the fields, his wife would dress up beautifully, and she'd walk through the town to meet him at the field before he went through the town, so that he should be attracted to her, and he shouldn't be attracted to anybody else when he walked through the town. This is the highest level of an individual. So you see how important the mitzvah is on a country, that a woman's attractiveness is the most important thing. And anyone thinks that being frum by being unattractive is crazy. There's no idea what Yad is, the philosophy of Yad is. The only thing is that it's the direction why she wants to, where the attractiveness is directed to, that's where the Kedusha Yisrael lies, where the concept and how it's expressed. Not whether a person's attractive or not, but what the attractiveness is for. If it's for the purpose of shalom bayis, to improve the relationship, then it's the greatest mitzvah in the world. But if it's a wanton kind of attractiveness, then it's the lowest thing. So that's a yadus, and yadus, the important thing is the direction of the person's energies, not simply the way simple people look at it, the institution itself. Yes, exactly. Right. That's the difference. That's the difference. That's right. That's the difference.